ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ङ्ग्रियुग्मम् अनुकृष्सरि प्रस्पन्तौ तावङ्ग्रियुग्ममनुकृष्य सरिष्पृपन्तौ घोष प्रघोष रुचिरं व्रजकर्दमेषु तन्नादरिस्तमनसावनुसृत्य लोकम् मुग्धप्रभीतवदुपेयतुरन्ति मात्रुः Translation and purport by His Divine Grace E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Okay. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Braj by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Yashoda and Rohini. Purport. When Krishna and Balaram were crawling about Vrajbhumi, they were enchanted by the sound of ankle bells. Thus they sometimes followed other people who would enjoy the crawling of Krishna and Balaram and explain, "Oh, see how Krishna and Balaram are crawling." Upon hearing this, Krishna and Balaram would understand that these were not their mothers they were following, and they would return to their actual mothers. Thus, the crawling of Krishna and Balaram was enjoyed by the people of the neighborhood, as well as by Mother Yashoda and Rohini, and the two children themselves. Hare Krishna. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places, Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained that the 10th canto resembles the face, the smiling face of the Lord. Kantastu Rajan Navmo Yadiyumo Yadiyo Mukharavindam Dashamam Prafullam Ekadasho yascha lalat pattam shiropiyad dvadasha eva bhati. That the 10th canto resembles the Mukharavind, the lotus smiling face of the Lord. It is the quintessence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Puran. It is the highest, the best of all Puranas, the essence of the Vedic literatures. So we are discussing the most advanced topic. We are discussing the most elevated topic of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form of Krishna. In the most esoteric of all holy places, Vrindavan Dham, which is the abode of all rasas. Rasaraj, Shri Krishna, is doing His pastimes in the most, with His most advanced devotees, of all other devotees. So here we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifesting His supreme opulence of renunciation, crawling in the dust of His devotees, foot dust of His devotees. He is the controller of all controllers. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the one who commands the respect of everyone in this world. He is the one who makes everybody bow down at his feet. And here is the Lord who is bowing down and crawling in the dust of the feet of his devotees. As it is explained here. He's crawling in the muddy places created in Braj by cow dung and cow urine. Somebody was saying some experience that some people from Bombay went to Wada and they were given some service. Some children were given some service in the cow shed. And the children were doing some service and the parents came and they said, Shishi, don't do that. It's menial work. But here we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead being the highest, being the supreme, is taking such a menial position of crawling in the dust of Vrindavan. So this is the exhibition of the supreme humility of Shri Krishna. Of having the possession of all the opulences, he is still humble. And that's what makes Krishna so pleasing to his devotees. Not for his opulences, but for this one opulence that he possesses, Vairagya. He is completely detached and he is bowing down and he is playing in the mud of Vrindavan, crawling around, body covered with dust. So this is Shri Krishna at his best. Just recently, 3rd of April, the Catholics, the Christians observed the occasion of Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday, they call it. The day before Good Friday is Maundy Thursday, where they observe the day because Jesus washed the feet of his apostles, the 12 apostles. The Last Supper, the Passover day, when they took the Last Supper together with Christ before he was crucified, that day he demonstrated one of the most important lessons which the Christians believe is renunciation of one's false ego, where Jesus taught that you must love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus, he took a jug and he washed the feet of all his disciples. So it's considered very significant where Jesus exhibited humility. He taught that one of the very important principles is humility. As we know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is a messenger of God. But here we can see it is not just a living being, but the Supreme Lord himself who is coming down to the position of being the servant of his devotees. He is exhibiting the greatest quality of humility. Even though he possesses all the opulences, a living being, if he is humble, he's really, it's not so significant because he doesn't have the opulences. Keshagra Shatabhagasya Shadam Shasadr Shatmakaha Jeev Sukshma Sharupo Yam Sankhya Tito Hichit Kana. What is the size of the soul? It is infinitesimal. He's 1/10,000, the tip of a hair. What opulence can he possess? So if he's humble, he's just being natural. It's natural for him. He doesn't have anything. But Shri Krishna, Garga Rishi, he gives an explanation for what is Krishna. Sadhya prani pavitrani jagata mangalani cha kakarah kamala kanta rukaro ram ityuta shakaro shad gunapatihi shvetadvip nivasakrit unakaro narasimhoyam akaro yaksharognibuk. So he is defining what is the meaning of Krishna. Sadhya prani pavitrani jagata mangalani cha, that the chanting of the name of Krishna immediately can purify anyone and everyone. So powerful. But what is the meaning of Krishna? So he says, Kakaraha Kamala Kanta. Ka stands for the husband of the goddess of fortune. Rukaro Rama Ittyuta. He is the most pleasing. He is Ram. Shakaro Shad Gunapatihi Shvetadvipa Nivasakrit. He is the possessor of all the six opulences. Fame, strength, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, riches. Nukaro Narasimhoyam. He is the lion amongst all men. And Akaro Yaksharognibuk, he is the enjoyer of the sacrifices. That is the meaning of Krishna. He is the possessor of all opulences. What is Radha? Radha has also been defined. Ramaya Rakaraha Syad Akaras Twadi Gopika Dhakaro Dharayahi Syad Akaras Virajanadi. Ramaya Rakaraha Syad. Radha has got Ra, A, Dha and A. So Ra stands for Ramaya, the goddess of fortune. A stands for Adi Gopika, original Gopi, the source of all other Gopis. Dhakaro Dharaya Hisyad, and she embodies Bhumi Devi. She is the source of even Bhumi Devi. Dharaya. And Akaro Virajanadi, she is the embodiment of liberation. So Radha and Krishna. So that is the meaning of these two very important words which we chant every day, which Garga Muni is explaining. How is defined as the source of all opulences. Shad Gunapati hi Shvetadvipa Nivasakrit. He is the possessor of all the six opulences. But despite being the possessor of the opulences, he's crawling in the dirt and he's doing so many things. Exhibiting his humility, his love for his devotees. In Ramayana, there's a very wonderful story spoken by the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, where it is explained that once all the good qualities got together and were discussing, that it has been very long that we have been residing in Lord Sri Ram. Why not for once we find out if there is anybody more capable so that we can take shelter of him? And they left Sri Ram in search of somebody else, looking for that person who is capable, who's as powerful, who's as got wonderful qualities like Sri Ram. But they could not find, and they came back to Sri Ram. Because there's nobody equal to the Supreme Personality of God. There's another story about how these sandals, why they left Sri Ram. In the spiritual world, everything is a person. Even the sandals is a personality. So when Bharat comes to Sri Ram to surrender to him, the sandals were thinking that every time our master steps on us and he walks and he's very harsh on us, he puts his foot on our heads and he's kind of crushing us all the while. So in one sense, they were looking for some maybe fault in Sri Ram by which they can find an excuse where they could leave him. But Sri Ram has got all the wonderful qualities. All the gunas reside in Sri Ram. So the slippers never got an opportunity to leave Sri Ram. But when Bharat Maharaj comes to Sri Ram to surrender to him, Sharanagati, and he put up his petition that, oh Sri Ram, please, on my behalf, you rule the world. On your behalf, I will go into the forest. So at that time, the sandals were listening, were observing, were seeing what Sri Ram will do. And they were thinking, now what will Sri Ram do? If he becomes logical, and if he uses logic, and if he becomes hard-hearted, and he rejects the petition put up by Sri Bharata, who is the topmost amongst all devotees, then that would be an excuse where we will leave him. Because that will prove that he is ultimately not having all the good qualities, he's having that hard side of his personality which we don't like so much. And we know what happens. The Sri Ram, he rejected the Sharanagati of Bharat and told that, sorry, not now. You are surrendering to me, but right now I cannot accept your proposal, so you please go back and rule on my behalf. And you take my sandals and let the sandals be my representative and place them on the throne and you can rule as if I am ruling. So it is explained that at that time when the sandals saw that Lord Sri Ram has not actually performed according to our expectations, they left. They went with Bharat to Ayodhya. Of course, this is an esoteric explanation of why the sandals left. But of course, Lord Ram and Sri Krishna are the embodiment of all good qualities. There is nobody parallel to him. As Rukmini, she's praying in her letter to Sri Krishna. Katva mukunda mahati kulashila rupa vidya vayo dhravina dama bhiratmatulyam dhira pati kulavati navrinita kanya kale narsimha naraloka manobhiramam. Katva mukunda mahati kulashila rupa. Who can match with your qualities? Kula, shil, rupa, vidya, vayo, dhravina, dhama, biratma, tulyam. Your age, your beauty, your learning, your powers, nobody can compare to it. Your opulences can be compared with you yourself. Dhirapati kulavati navrinita kanya. Who is that intelligent, sober girl who is of a manageable age who will choose anybody else than you? And therefore, I have surrendered my life to you. My mind has been shamelessly fixed on you. And therefore, you please come, because I don't want to accept any other master than you, Shri Krishna. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundari shrinvatam te nirvishakarna vivarena haratonga tapam rupam drisham drishimatam akhilarthalabam twai achyuta vishati chittam apatrapam me. That my mind is shamelessly fixed upon you, O Lord. I have heard about your glories. I have not seen you. I have heard from the great rishis, from the great Brahmins who come to our assembly and describe your glories. And therefore, I have given my heart to you. I don't want to accept anyone else save and except you. So, the Lord, being the possessor of all opulences, is here exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. The Lord is exhibiting the glory of the holy land of Vrindavan. How sacred is that place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead rolls in the dust? Vrindavan is the holiest of all holy places. There is no holy place as glorious as Vrindavan. During the Varaha Leela, when that took place, episode took place, when Hiranyaksha, he plundered the earth and the earth fell into the Garbhodak ocean. At that time, Varaha appeared, Lord Shri Krishna appeared in the form of Varaha and raised the earth. And while she was being raised, Bhumi Devi asked Varaha, where do you think you are going to keep me? And at that time, Varaha told her that you look for some trees, maybe if you can find some trees. So Bhumi Devi, out of a little false pride, she thought, how can there be trees if I am not there? Everything stands on me. And Varaha, seeing that, she said, Bhumi, take a look, keep your eyes open. And she finds that the trees were suspended on some kind of land. And when she went closer, it was the holy land of Vrindavan, which was still present when Bhumi was not existing. The Lord wanted to show the nature of the holy land of Vrindavan, that it always exists irrespective of the earth. When the earth is annihilated, Vrindavan still remains. In fact, Vrindavan is so glorious that the Lord Shri Krishna chooses not to wear slippers. He doesn't wear slippers. Krishna never wore slippers. Even Lord Ram wore slippers. Save and except those 14 years where he did not, but rest of the time, for all the time that he ruled, he was wearing slippers. But Krishna never wore slippers in Vrindavan. So that is the holy land of Vrindavan. He's extolling the glories. So like that. So we can see that how important is the holy land of Vrindavan, that he chooses to actually crawl on the holy land in the dust of his devotees. Here we can also see the wonderful lesson which he's giving to all of the world, that how one must serve the devotees. Krishna is taking instruction from his devotees. The supreme controller of all controllers is taking instruction from his devotees. He's allowing himself to be controlled by his devotees. Wonderful sweet pastimes which he's performing is that of his devotees controlling Sri Krishna. The Balya Leela which he demonstrated in Vrindavan is so amazing, is so divine, that it is explained that even the residents of Vaikuntha do not get to see the pastimes, the childhood pastimes of Krishna, because Krishna never appears in Vaikuntha. He appears only in Golok, in Bhulok Vrindavan. So this Leela of Balya Leela, childhood pastimes of Krishna, is so amazing that it is only on this earth planet. And that's why Vrindavan is so amazing, that even Vaikuntha Vasis have to come into this world. Even Lord Shiva, Brahma have to come into this earth to see the Balya Leela of Sri Krishna. And therefore Rupa Goswami says, Vaikuntha Janito Vara Madhupuri Tatrapi Rasot Savad Vrindaranya Mudar Pani Ramana Tatrapi Govardhanaha Radha Kunda Mihapi Gokulapate Premamrita Plavanat Kuryadasya Virajato Giri Tate Vive Seva Miveki Nakaha. Who is that person who will not like to serve Mathura Puri? Vaikuntha Janito Madhupuri. Because it is more glorious than Vaikuntha, because Lord took birth there. Who will not serve Vrindavan, which is even more glorious than Mathura, because the Lord performed the Ras Utsavat, Ras Leela there. Who will not serve Govardhan, because the Lord himself lifted it with his left hand, little finger, for 6, 7 days, 7 nights to give special darshan to his devotees. And who will not serve Radha Kund, which is even more glorious than his other places, because the Lord performed the most intimate pastime with his topmost devotee Radharani. So that is the idea, that Vrindavan is so glorious. He exhibited the highest form of renunciation and exhibited the greatest love for his devotees. So therefore, somehow or another, we have to develop attachment for this holy place. People today are attached to so many other things. Bollywood, Hollywood, Tollywood. But now we have to get attached to the childhood pastimes in the holy woods of Vrindavan. People are attached to Hollywood, Bollywood, Tollywood, but they are not attached to the childhood pastimes in the holy woods of Vrindavan. People are busy watching television, switching it on, whole day they are spending in just TV, TV, TV. There's one Mataji who comes to our program. She comes and sits very enthusiastically, she listens. But as soon as the lecture is over, she runs up. I wondered where she goes. She switches on the television and she sends her son, Beta jaake thoda prasad leke aana. And watching the television, she's taking prasad. Such is the temptation of this world. And television, which is the personified form of Maya Devi, is none else than in the homes of people. Previously, people would have to go out of their homes to get into Maya, where parents would tell their children, Beta, uske saath mat milna. Don't go and meet that person, it's very bad. But now all the child has to do is just come home and switch on the television, that's it. Like one person, boy was there, and I was asking him, so you're going to college, huh? What are you doing now in college? Doing time pass? He said, nahin. Immediately after college, vapas aa jata hu ghar pe. said, very good, excellent, excellent, very nice. Good boy, good boy. So what do you do at home? TV dekhta hun. He just watches TV at home, television. And all the Hollywood and Bollywood and all that garbage, junk. It's like putting all dirt in our minds. Take a bath, kunjara shauchavat. It's like the elephant taking bath and then becoming very clean. And at the end of it, we think, okay, now fresh dirt. And just bathe in the dirt and the filth. And the quintessence of all dirty things is in the television. So somehow from Bollywood, people have to get connected to the childhood pastime in the holy woods of Vrindavan. That is the message. We have to worship the place of Vrindavan, the holy land of Vrindavan. And the Lord has shown that how important is the devotees. It is the most important to serve devotees because the Lord himself is serving devotees. In the wonderful Leela of Nalakuer Manigreev, when Nalakuer Manigreev gets cursed by Narada, they become trees in Gokul Vrindavan. So Sri Krishna is being bound up by Gopya Dade Tvai Kritag Siddhama Tavad Yate Dashashru Khalilanjana Sambramaksham, that Mother Yashoda is tying Krishna up to the ukkhal, to the grinding motor, and Sri Krishna is pulling the grinding motor slowly, gradually taking it towards a garden, towards the trees, two trees who are gods in the form of trees, who had been cursed by Narada with the intention that Sri Krishna will liberate them from that curse, taking and pulling that grinding motor between those two trees and gradually just giving a light push, and the two trees fall down, and two dazzling personalities, Nalakuer, Manigreev, the sons of the treasurer of the demigods, appear, and Sri Krishna looking at them, and Nalakuer, Manigreev are offering prayers to Sri Krishna and thanking him for releasing them from bondage. And Sri Krishna smiling, thinking that you are praying to me for releasing you from bondage, but just look at me, I am bound up here. What an irony. You are praying to me for releasing you, but I am bound up. I myself bound up. Why are you praying to me? So, the Supreme Lord who binds up everybody in this world, Sattva rajas tamaiti guna prakritir sambhavaha nibadhananti mahabaho deha dehinam avyayam. Krishna says, Arjuna, mahabaho, mighty armed, but you yourself are bound up thoroughly by the three modes of nature, not just you, but all the living beings on this world. And who is the person who's binding? It's me. Sri bhir guna mayer bhaver ebhi sarva medam tatam mohitam nabhijanati mam ebhya param avyayam. The Supreme Lord, who's the binder of all the living entities, himself is bound up by the ropes of love of his devotee. How is that? So as it is said, Bandhanani khalusanti bahuni prema rajjugrita bandhanamanya daru bheda nipunopi shadangri nishkriyo bhavati pankaja koshit. Just like a bee is very powerful and it can break through, it can drill through thick layers of wood and get out. But that same bee, when it goes into a lotus to suck nectar, he allows himself to be bound up by the soft lotus petals. Even though he has the power to get out, but he allows himself. Bandhanani khalu santi bahuni prema rajju krita bandhanam anyat. In this world there are many shackles, there are many fetters, there are many ropes, there are many chains, there are many bonds, but there is no bond, there is no fetter, there is no chain or rope which is as powerful as the chains or the bonds of love. Bandhanani khalu santi bahuni prema rajju krita bandhanam anyat. And it is by that bond of love that Sri Krishna allows himself to be tied up by his devotees. So the very important message which he is giving is that the devotees are worthy of our service. The devotees are worthy of our worship. The Supreme Lord himself bows down in front of his devotees and allows himself to be controlled by his devotees. The supreme position of controllership is not appealing to Sri Krishna also, then why are the living entities in this world struggling for control, struggling for power, struggling for dominance in this world is quite surprising. Sri Krishna is saying, why do you strive for all these things? When you look at me, I have given up that position to take a humble position of serving my devotees. Then what stops you from surrendering to my devotees and receiving their blessings? Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes the words from Adi Puran. He says, Ye mad bhakta janaha partha, name bhaktas chate janaha, mad bhakta naam che ye bhakta, te me bhaktatamo mataha. Those who say that they are my devotees, they are not my devotees. But those who are the devotees of my devotees, they are my devotees, factually. So therefore, the very important message which Sri Krishna gives is that we have to be serving the devotees. And therefore, in the Ramayana, there's a very nice message given by Shatrughna. Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Shatrughna, the name comes, as we have heard popularly, that Shatrughna is the one who has killed the mighty enemy. Now, what is the mighty enemy? We've heard that he has overcome the mighty enemy of the false ego, ahankar, mamatvam. So that mamatvam was given away by Shatrughna because he has given up the service of Ram to become the servant of his devotee. Therefore, he is glorious. The South Indian acharyas give another purport to that. They say that Shatrughna means one who has overcome the enemy of Bhagavad Bhakti. One who has overcome the enemy of Bhagavad Bhakti. Because sometimes Bhagavad Bhakti can become an impediment to serving the devotees. In the name of becoming the servant of Sri Krishna, we may overlook the devotees of Krishna. And therefore, because Shatrughna overcame that, and he decided to become the servant of his servants, that's why he's known as Shatrughna. Because there is no big enemy which he has ever killed in Ramayana. There is no mention of any big demon, only one or two demon. One demon he has probably killed. So the real Shatrughna, which he overcame, was Bhagavad Bhakti. Devotion to Krishna. So that is the message which Sri Krishna is giving here, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Naham vipro nacha narpati na vaishyo na piveshyo na shudro naham varani nacha grihapati no vanasto yatirva kintu prodhyan nikala paramananda premamritabdher gopi bhartuh padakamalayor das das anudasah. That the living entity's nature is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. Servant of Sri Krishna. And therefore, there are such wonderful examples here in this purport. There is a wonderful story in Ramayana about how Sri Ram sends Hanuman with the ring. Tells Hanuman, if you happen to meet Mother Sita, you please hand over this ring to her. This will remind her that this message is from me. This will convince her that you are my messenger. This will remind her of the episodes which took place between me and her. Something very private. And Hanuman goes with that ring. And the acharyas explain that ring represents the message of God, brought by a devotee, which Srila Prabhupada came with the message. He came to the West, he went and preached, and we've seen so miraculous transformation of such people. So, that is the message which Srila Prabhupada has brought. And Hanuman is coming with the ring. And the acharya has given a very nice explanation, very beautiful explanation, about what the ring, what is the pastime which took place of that ring. The ring actually is responsible to unite Sita and Ram. Just as the message of the Shastras helps in uniting the devotees with Krishna. So the ring represents the bond. So Mother Sita, when she got that ring, she was thinking of the episode which had taken place many years ago. That once Lord Sri Ram had a little argument with Mother Sita. Mother Sita was sitting and jokingly Sri Ram rubbed off the sindoor of Mother Sita. So Mother Sita, because it's an etiquette to always be having the sindoor, chaste women, they always wear sindoor. It was during those times. At no point of time is a married woman not wearing it. So Lord Ram, he just accidentally wipes it off from Mother Sita's head. Mother Sita becomes very offended and she thinks, how did you do that? And she stopped talking to Lord Ram. So Ram is not talking to Mother Sita and Sita is not talking to Sri Ram. And that is going on for a very long time. But now both are thinking it's been long and I want to talk and what is the excuse? They are looking for an excuse how we can break the ice. So Sri Ram is looking at his ring and he's thinking, what should I do? So he takes out his ring and throws it on the floor and he says, where's my ring? And Mother sees that as a cue and immediately she searches, fetches the ring, takes the ring and gives it to Ram, and that is the end of the episode of silence. And they get united. So that ring which united Mother Sita with Ram many years ago again became responsible for uniting Sita and Ram. That ring which has been brought by the devotee. The cause of union of the living entity with the Supreme Lord takes place by the mercy of the devotee. Devotion to Sri Krishna cannot come by our own efforts, because that's something which we don't have. As it is explained, Krishna Bhakti Rasamrit, Krishna Bhakti Rasabhavitamati, Kriyatam Api Kutopi Labhyate, Tatra Laulyam Api Mulyam Ekalam, Koti Janma Sukritaira Labhyate. Thousands and thousands and millions of lifetimes of accumulated Sukriti, Punya Karma cannot give you devotion to Krishna. Then how are you going to get the Sukriti, the devotional credit? It is only coming from Bhagavan. It can only come from his devotee. When a devotee blesses, then it is possible. And therefore, Sri Krishna, by performing this pastime in Vrindavan at the feet of his devotees, he is showing that I can be found at the lotus feet of my devotees. When we actually serve the devotees. That is the very important message. The wonderful sweet pastimes of Sri Krishna. The very wonderful sweet pastimes of Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. Like one wonderful pastime is when Sri Krishna is very small and the Brajbasis, the gopis, they would like to decorate him very nicely. So they put all these kind of different ornaments on Sri Krishna. And baby Krishna doesn't like all these things and he keeps removing it. And again they put the ornaments, and again Krishna doesn't like it and he takes it out, and again they put him, and again he's taking it out, and that goes on and on. Such sweetness. Baby Krishna is so young and he has this mark on his chest. Shri Vatsa Ratnottama Kundala Shriyam Kirit Harangada Kundalatusham. He's always having that Shri Vatsa mark on his chest. So when the gopis are looking at that mark, which looks like a doll, they're asking Krishna, Krishna, what is that? What is that mark on your chest? Looks like a doll. Is she your wife? Small, tiny baby Krishna is shaking his head from side to side and says, yes, she's my wife. So Krishna would perform such amazing pastimes. Krishna would go and steal butter from the gopis' houses. And the gopis would sometimes catch him and they would say, so now I've caught you. And she said, if you catch me, you just see what I'm going to do. I'm going to be terrible. The gopis say, what you will do? So the gopis tied Krishna up and after some time they released him. So Krishna says, just watch. So that night, that Gopi gets up for some work, and all of a sudden her husband shouts, "Oh, what happened?" He had come in the night and tied up her Gopi's hair with the beard of her husband. So that is the sweet pastimes of Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. Very mischievous. Everybody has experienced the monkeys in Vrindavan. How mischievous they are. I was recently in Vrindavan, and one congregation devotees were there, and Mataji was also there along with her husband, and they were going to get the deities for their home. So the Mataji was wearing very expensive lenses, 15,000 rupees. So she was looking at something. All of a sudden she realized she cannot see very clearly. So what happened? And she was looking, why am I not being able to see? And she realized that her spectacles are gone. The monkey just took it away. 15,000 rupees gone. 15,000 rupees. I said, wow. And still, it is explained that the monkeys of Vrindavan are an integral part of the group of Krishna. And amongst the leaders is Sri Krishna, and monkey is on the last. Monkeys are at the back. They are nowhere actually. So you can just imagine how mischievous Sri Krishna is. So like that, we cannot get to experience the sweetness of Sri Krishna directly, but we need the grace of his devotees. And that is the whole incarnation. Purpose of the incarnation. That is the whole purpose. That is the whole message of the incarnation of Sri Krishna in the form of his devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where Sri Krishna himself sees that my devotees are experiencing a pleasure far greater than me. The pleasure that they get from serving me is far greater than I get by accepting their service. What is it that? What is in my service that they are experiencing? To experience that, he takes the form of his own devotee. And he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ajanu lambita bhujau kanakavata tau sankirtanaik pitarau kamalayatakshau vishwambarau dvijavarau yugadharma palau vande jagat priyakarau karunavatarau. That Sri Krishna takes the avatar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what a devotee experiences. And that is the whole mood, and he is giving that mercy to everybody. And that mercy is coming through his representatives, Srila Prabhupada and his qualified, bona fide devotees, from whom we are getting to hear the wonderful, sweet message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can cherish in our hearts and help us connect with the Supreme Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. So anybody has any questions? Oh, it's already time up. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.